Well, amen. Thank you, worship team, for that wonderful time of worship. Welcome, Hope Church and Hope at Home. We know you're watching. We love you guys. Good morning, everybody. Hey, we have 645,000 reasons to be thankful this morning and to remember the great sacrifice of American military personnel, right? Can we put that picture up real quick? Who died while serving this country? And I know Memorial Day's on Monday. I just wanted to throw this up there. Anybody seen that before? That is called the Poppy Wall of Honor. And on that wall, there are 645,000 red poppies to honor the memory of all those Americans killed in military service from the time of World War I till now. So they all put their lives on the line, and I just want us to acknowledge that this morning and remember, as you're enjoying this Memorial Day weekend, just remember that. Remember the people that sacrificed greatly. Amen? Amen. That is worthy and worth bringing up this morning. Okay. One announcement here. You may have almost run into a huge pile of materials out in the parking lot. So we try to get that off to the side. Some people are curious. Want you to know that huge pile is our new roofing material, okay? So we have a daycare, we have a gymnasium, we share that, and there's been a tremendous amount of leaking lately. I know because I have caught most of the leaks. That's right, in garbage cans and thus forth. So we are repairing the roof, and so that's what that is. They're going to be doing that starting Monday. I know there's a lot of rain coming, but they're going to be starting on that. So just want to let you know what that is. Hey, running a church and operating a church is not a cheap thing, right? It's expensive. And so here's what I would say to you. If the Lord prompts your heart, all right, to give towards that project, then give what you want to give, okay? I trust that you are doing what the Lord has asked you to do. He calls us to be generous givers. He calls us to give of our tithes and our offerings and of the first fruits of what we make. So honor the Lord in whatever way the Lord prompts your heart. And if you want to talk to me more about that project, I'd love to talk to you afterward, and I'll let you know where we're at with it financially and all those things, okay? So we are in our series called Fruitful, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, you may have heard someone say this a time or two. Life is short. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've said that a time or two recently. All right, it's true. All right, one day I graduated from high school. We had some grads here last week. I don't know where they went. Maybe they're gone now. But one day I graduated from high school. The next day I turned 46. Okay? That's how it feels. Life is short. The average lifespan in the United States currently stands at 77 years for all people. 77. As a matter of fact, it's longer for women. It's about 80 years for women. But the lifespan of the modern man, yes, I'm talking to you men, is just under 75 years. So guys, you better get with it, because you have 5 years less on average to live. That's just a fact. All right? Now, I'm not sure how you feel about those numbers. It's kind of crazy if you just let that sink in for a minute. But to me, that doesn't sound like a very long time, and I'd like to do better than average as a modern man. Wouldn't you like to live a little bit longer? We can't determine that. It's in God's hands. All right? Now, I want to switch gears for a minute And I want you to think about Noah and the flood for just a minute. There was a day that finally came that ended a lot of life. It ended life on the planet, except for one family, Noah's family. And the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness in his time. You can find that in 2 Peter chapter 2. He was a preacher of righteousness, and in a strange, almost coincidental way, it took the lifespan of the modern man for Noah to build the ark, about 75 years to build that thing. And you may have wrestled a time or two with this question at some point. How could God flood the earth in the story of Noah? How could he do that to the world? A lot of people struggle with these kind of things in the Bible. But of course, he is God. But you know what an even more perplexing question might be? How could Noah build an ark for 75 years, the lifespan of the modern man, and not have one single convert? Think about that. Though he was a preacher of righteousness, a messenger or a proclaimer of God's divine word, by definition of the word used in Greek there, nobody came to a place of repentance in their heart during his early life before the flood. Now, when you think about it that way, you may begin to think about how long that time felt to Noah. Right? I keep building. I keep working. I keep doing what God has asked me to do. I keep living for God, but nobody out there seems to care about it. And rather than the shortness of life, we start to see the length of God's patience coming into view. Yes, life is short, but God's patience is long. That's what we can learn from that story. Now, the Apostle Peter explains to us something we need to understand about who God is. And this is going to be found in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you're interested in going there. Peter explains that in the last days, which are the days leading up to Jesus' return, a flood of the judgment of God in those days will a flood of the judgment of God is going to come, okay? But those who believe in those days are also going to fall under some ridicule. And the reason is because of the long delay of the return of Jesus. And the world will begin to mock that long delay. And they will start to say things like, "Where is this second coming? Everything goes on like it always has." This is what Peter explains. And in verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says this, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day." What does that mean that Peter said that? He explains it in the very next verse, verse 9. He said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is," what? "Patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." All right, catch that in that verse. God wants everyone to come to repentance and no one to perish. That's what he wants. Now, the ark in Noah's day, it represented that salvation for mankind, which turned out to be only Noah and his family. Does that mean that God hated the rest of humanity? In fact, God looked upon the earth in those days, and when he saw men, he found that their wickedness had become so great upon the earth that the Bible says that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. And his heart became deeply troubled. So what happened? He went to work on a project, a massive build in the middle of the desert that year after year spoke to that generation boldly and might as well have been a gigantic billboard saying, "I am the God who is slow to anger. I am patient, waiting, and waiting some more for people to repent, giving people a chance day after day after day to acknowledge his message of salvation by the preacher Noah. But as each board and beam and plank was hoisted up to this ship, as each nail was driven in, the message to repent was ignored by that generation, and they continued in their sin. And as crazy of a story as that is, as crazy as the story of Noah and the flood sounds, let me tell you something that's even more crazy. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the end times, and they're asking him, when is all this going to happen? And this is found in Matthew chapter 24. They say, when is all this going to happen? And Jesus says in Matthew 24, starting in verse 36, he says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And here's what he says, verse 37, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." It will be just like that. Any of those people in Noah's time could have asked about the huge construction project that Noah was working on. Perhaps they did. I mean, how did they not notice it, right? Y'all noticed all the roofing material out there. I'm pretty sure you didn't miss it, right? How did they not notice what was going on? Perhaps they did notice. They could have listened to his words. They could have recognized that his life stood out among the rest of his generation. They could have taken note of the way in which he served the Lord. However, they didn't care what he had to say. They weren't interested in living righteously. They were only interested in living for themselves. And in the words of Jesus himself, verse 39 says this, "That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Isn't that crazy? Can you believe that? It's hard to believe that nobody on the entire planet cared about God anymore. And yet history will repeat itself again. Sometimes it's not hard to believe that, actually, when you see stuff that's going on in the world. What should we do about this? In verse 42 of Matthew 24, Jesus says this. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Keep watch. Keep looking. Keep going forward. You know, today is really no different than in Noah's time in this way. The whole world is experiencing God's patience. Each day, the flood of his judgment is held off for one more day. You know, our lives are short, but his patience grows longer and longer with every sunrise. It just keeps getting longer. The patience of God. Many people today who don't know the Lord, they don't even realize this fact. The time we live in is what we call the time of grace. And that time is right now. And right now, he patiently holds the door of heaven open for all who want to hear the message and repent and follow his ways. Amen. Let's look at the biblical definition of patience then, okay? How this fruit of the Spirit is produced. All right, the Greek word used for patience is this, makrothumia. Okay, the first part of that, makra, means long. And the second part of that, thumia, means temper. All right, patience is also known as long-suffering or forbearance as it is in our text. And the same meaning is attributed to the Hebrew word used when God describes himself as being a God who is slow to anger. He doesn't describe himself as never getting angry. He's just slow to it. Slow to anger. Anybody out there have a temper? Yeah, some hands actually went up. It's true. I'd be raising my hand too. I would. I am. Anybody have kids? Yes. Yes. A few more hands. Anybody know any people? You work with any people? Does anyone know any stubborn people out there? A few? Maybe you looked in the mirror this morning and you met one? I've done that a few times. All right, if any of that, right, and the mountain of other frustrations that God uses to develop patience in us, if any of that is true, then you have a temper, okay? We all have a temper. And sometimes it doesn't take much to set it on fire. Have you ever been set on fire?
No!
Yeah. Absolutely. I understand that. But biblical patience means this. It means to hold your temper for a long time. That's what the word means. Hold your temper for a long time. And I know, guys, that there have been some tough things that have happened to you. Really tough things, maybe even tough things this week or last week. Maybe got your temper flared up a little bit. But the ability to hold your temper for longer, okay, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. It's like learning to hold your breath underwater. Okay, it takes some building up of the lungs. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps to build up your heart with patience through some really hard stuff. So how ought we to be towards others with this fruit of the Spirit working in our lives? I want to share a testimony. But it's not my testimony. It's Paul's testimony. The Apostle Paul. He shares it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Let's read it. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul's testimony. Now listen to what Paul says next. I love this part in verse 16. Let's put it up there. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense, what? Patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. The word immense there is also translated as perfect or complete or vast. All right, catch this morning. The true vastness of God's patience is put on display in me. That's what Paul is saying. God's patience is put on display in my life. My short life displays God's long patience. And we said this in the series before, but the fruit on a tree is never just for the tree. It is for someone else to eat, right? And that is also true of all the fruit of the Spirit that is developed in our hearts. God intends for you to share it with others. He wants the fruit seen in your life and given away. So, as we talk about this, what is the indicator that the fruit is seen in you? The fruit of patience, long-suffering, forbearance. Number one, how well do you understand God's patience in your own life? If you've truly been saved, then you are someone who understands the slow anger and the abounding mercy of God. Amen? Anyone ever come to that conclusion? God has been slow to anger with me. God has given me abounding mercy. And when you realize that, your life becomes an example of patience. So number one, how well do you understand God's patience in your own life? Number two, how patient are you with others? How patient are you with others? There's a lot of others in our lives, right? How patient are you with your kids? How patient are you with your spouse? How patient have you been with your coworkers, with people in your community, with those that don't display much thankfulness? How about with the unrepentant? That's who God was patient with. Or with someone who should probably have said sorry to you years ago. How patient are you with them? Can you still give them the gift of patience from you? See, that's the fruit of the Spirit working in your life. Amen. Now, a few points of encouragement today before we move in to a time of communion, which we always do on the last Sunday of the month. Number one, just to walk away today with this, be patient with people. That's easier said than done. Be patient with people. People actually need patience from other people. They do. And God has called all of us to give away the fruit of our lives. Right? Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not just for us. It's produced in us, but it works through us. So give away your patience with people. Two, be patient with your family. This can be very, very hard for a lot of families. There's a lot of hurts that happen in a lot of families. But be patient with your family. Let me say it this way. When your kids were just little guys, remember those days? Oh, they're so wonderful. My kids aren't little guys anymore. They're big guys. But I still love them. But when they were little guys running around, you know, you didn't expect them to walk after one day, right? You expected that to develop in their lives. You didn't expect them to talk after one day. You expected their speech to develop. And likewise, you should expect their heart to develop in time, even through the mistakes that you've made and the most mistakes that your kids have made or your family members have made. And one thing I can guarantee you, they need in their development process is your patience. They need that gift from you, just as we need it from the Father. Amen. Yeah. Third thing, so be patient with people. Be patient with your family. Third thing, be patient with yourself. Okay, be patient with yourself. Someone said this, patience leaves room for God to work in our hearts and in our relationships. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be hasty all the time. Be patient. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. It takes time to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. It takes going to the Lord daily. It takes a lifetime, really. Amen. We're going to move into communion, and I'm just going to say a few more comments, but you will see, if you haven't been here before, there's a table in each corner. I'm going to ask in a minute that you would get up from right where you are and go straight to the nearest table and bring the communion elements back to where you are, and there you can pray, right? Get before the Lord. Examine your heart. Those are good things. Pray with your family, all right? And then receive the communion elements, okay? You ought to be someone who has given their life to the Lord and acknowledges Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't done that today, let's get that right first, okay? We can do that after the service, all right? We can even do it now, and then we can take communion, all right? It's important. It's important to understand we're proclaiming the blood of Christ and what He has done in the forgiveness of sins each time we remember communion. All right, before we get there, I want to circle back to what Peter leaves us with in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says this, some of his final comments in that chapter. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. His patience means salvation Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom that God gave him, patience means salvation. What does that mean? What does he mean by that? He means that today is another day of the Lord's patience in your life. It's one more day. And his patience grows longer and longer every day. Don't take advantage of that patience to continue in your sin. Take advantage of that patience to give your life to the Lord before he comes back. And some of us may wonder today, if God has ever spoken to you, I hope he's speaking to you right now. I hope you feel that tug on your heart and that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. But you may have wondered if God has ever spoken to you the way he spoke to Noah. Let me help you hear him today. The thing he's been speaking the loudest is his patience in your life. Amen. Maybe it's time to listen. Maybe it's time to listen. He's already paid the price for your sin. There's nothing more to do. And he will return again, bringing final judgment. But his slowness in doing so is his patience in your life. Amen. Amen. And on the night before he died, Jesus was with his disciples, and he took the bread, and he broke it, and he passed it around. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And he took the cup of the wine and he passed it around and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's remember his great sacrifice and his great patience. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your patience in my life, in all of our lives, that each day it grows longer and longer. And when we realize that, God, our lives become a display of your patience for others to see. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is seen in us. Thank you for your mercy. You know, King David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry." God is waiting patiently for you. And what happened? David then said, "And then he lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on the rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand." God, thank you for your great patience, and thank you for building for us a firm place to be able to stand. In your great name, we pray. Amen.